One of the most popular hymns of all time about the church that is well known is Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching As to War. The second verse is a great description biblically of what the church should be. It says, like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. It captures a wonderful way the teachings of the scriptures about the church, the body of Christ. But when you come to the actual experience of the church, and especially the church of Corinth, there was a church that had problems. They were very much divided. You know, there's somebody that wrote a parody of that second verse, and it says, like a mighty turtle moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where we've always trod. We are much divided, many bodies we, strong in faith and doctrine, weak in charity. And that verse may describe the church, at least the one we know, or more accurately than the other one. It describes the church at Corinth, how divided they were, how separated they were, what the Apostle Paul was dealing with. And here is a church that had all the possibilities of divisions, boastings, jealousy, and carnal ambitions. And as the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, he sees behind all those symptoms the root cause behind all things. And it's very important that we understand this, for the Apostle takes us behind those superficial manifestations to the root problem. And in our passage today, it's the love of the human wisdom. We took a little time in Sunday school this morning and we talked about mankind wanting to be above God, or mankind wanting to be number one, or our pride taking over. It's the love of human wisdom. It is pride in the ability of man by his secular wisdom and knowledge of the day to solve the problems of life. We think we can solve our own problems. We think we can handle our own issues. Even as believers, I think we go through that same thing. Yes, unbelievers especially, but as believers, we think, I'm going to get through this on my own. If we don't get up and start our day with the Word of God, we're telling God we can do it on our own. That is the problem in the church in America today. I think the church today functions just like the world does. We've got to be different. We've got to be separate. We've got to be set apart. It's not the church making an impact on the world. It's the world making an impact on the church. And we've got to change that. And that was the same problem that they were having here at Corinth. Paul calls us back to a view of a true church. And last week we saw that the church was built on a foundation. We talked about the garden a couple weeks ago with planting that garden. And then he talked about a building, and he talked about the foundation, and he talked about building that foundation upon Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation. The scripture which the Apostle Paul gave us tells us about Jesus, who he is, what he does, how he comes into our lives by means of the Spirit today, how he changes us, how he wants to empower us. Through the centuries, many have been building on that foundation. We know a lot of good people, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Wesley, Charles Baker, there's many names have built upon it, so the church has risen through the centuries. How do we build on each other's lives? How do we build upon ourselves? How do we build? How do we affect everyone by the way we live, the way we think? How are you building upon that foundation? What materials are you using? Is it wood, hay, and stub? Or is it gold? What are you building for? What are you building with? Is it the truth revealed in the secret and the hidden mystery of God? What are you building on? What are you building with? And he goes on into verse 16 and 17 here. He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So if you want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? There's no doubt that Paul has the congregation at Corinth in mind when he says this. You as people, functioning out in the world, at your work, wherever you are the temple of God. It's scary. If you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you believe the word of God is true, if you believe everything about it, you are the temple of God. Look at chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? What a powerful verse. You are not your own. Back in verse 16, it says, you can destroy, or verse 17, you can destroy the temple of God. And our first inclination of that is to eliminate or break apart. But in this passage, destroy does not mean to literally destroy. It means to damage, to injure, to harm. And there's so many ways to look at the temple of God in a physical aspect as well as a spiritual aspect. What we put into our body, what we do with our body, whether it's drugs, alcohol, smoking, you know, what we eat, what we every day, that is part of the temple of God as well. But we can damage it. We can injure it. We can harm it. We can destroy it. I talk about consequences all the time. There's consequences with everything, whether it's good or bad. I'm terrible at it, but I choose not to exercise, and it's a terrible outcome for the consequences because I look like this. There's consequences, good and bad. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the temple, and I need to take care of it. How do we damage the church? How do you corrupt the congregation? Corruption takes place when someone introduces the wisdom of the world into our lifestyle. That is what's happening with churches, and that's what's happening with the Christians. That's what's happening with all of us. If we begin to choose to live according to the wisdom of our flesh and our desire, we are going to destroy the temple of God. We're going to begin to build with shoddy material. We're going to build with hay, wood, and stubble, which cannot test the fires. We corrupt and damage the church from the inside out. We can't compromise the Word of God. We can't change the Word of God. It is the truth, whether you like it or not. There's a lot of different examples we could dive into of corruption and what destroys the temple of God and different things. But I can remember when I first moved to the South, between colors. Race was a very hard thing, even in churches. I went to a church in Prattville and I candidated there. And they pretty much flat out said it, we don't accept blacks here. How, as a believer in the body of Christ, can you ever say that? It's ridiculous. And that's what we're fighting among a lot of things. We have gone through a tremendous civil rights struggle in which it became evident that the churches, not only of the South, but in many other parts of the country as well, had failed to believe the word of God about brothers and sisters in Christ. God has made all. God has made everyone. God has made everybody equal. We're all the same. Doesn't matter race, doesn't matter color, doesn't matter where you're from, what you do. It doesn't matter. But we try to put these distinctions upon what class you're in. Wealthy or poor, whether you're middle class, whether you're Republican or Democrat, whether you're whatever. We try to divide ourselves among everybody. This will destroy the temple of God in a spiritual sense. God takes this very seriously. And Paul says here, if anyone destroys or corrupts God's temple, God will corrupt him. If any man's work is burned, he will suffer loss. It's so important. We come to an awareness that all the effort we have been putting out to impress people with our godliness, with our abilities, whatever it is, come to nothing. They are a waste of time. You know, so many times in life we think we're doing something for God and we're doing it in and of ourselves. Paul now moves on to the logical answer in verse 18. What are you going to do? What is God's demand upon you if this is the danger under which we live? 18 through 21, he says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. There are two things Paul says to do if you catch yourself in this sort of a thing. And we all do from time to time. We all think we're making an impression for God. We're doing great things for God. But down at the heart, hidden to others around us, is an ambition or a desire for maybe prominence, maybe recognition, maybe fame. Paul says, stop kidding yourself. Don't let anyone deceive himself. You could be impressing men. You could be impressing the world. You can be impressing everyone around you. But God is not impressed. You may think yourself of a great success, but God is sadly shaking his head with what he sees. God cannot be fooled. He knows your heart. He knows your desire. He knows what you're looking for. Mankind may give you tremendous applause and recognition, but if it's not coming from the sense of dependence on the wisdom and the power and the working of the Spirit of God, it's all wasted effort. And then secondly, Paul says, choose what the world says is foolish. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this world, thinks he's got it made, thinks he understands the method to move people and motivate them, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. And it appears to be the smarter people are, the higher IQ they have, it's harder for them to come back to the Word of God. You guys see it all the time. We have to become fools. We have to understand the Word of God. We have to take it for what it says. There's a song that says, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have him than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be a king of a vast domain and to be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. And to me, even as believers, we still struggle with this a little bit because we get involved in the world and we want things of the world and we see things and we're like, can I have that? And we try to grab. I'm just as guilty as all. But whatever you're going through today, whatever the stresses of this world are, it's not going to matter in the end. Never mind what the world thinks. Never mind what the world says. For the wisdom of the world will prove to be foolish in the end. All men will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you believe it or not, whether you want to say it's true or not, one day you will bow before Jesus Christ. There's so many things that the world tries to do, or the people try to keep up with the Joneses or the foolish things of the world. You know, I was surfing Facebook this week, and I don't even know how I came across this, but they now have chest hair. I can get a chest hair wig. I don't know if my wife would like that or not. I can unbutton. She said no. But you can get a chest. Yeah, Google it. Go home and Google chest hair wig. Men like having hair on their chest now. That's a new fad. So you unbutton. I guess you unbutton a couple shirts, and you can show your chest hair wig. But just silly things of the world, and we come up with one thing, and we grab onto that. How ridiculous, how foolish are the ways of the world. The wisdom of this world is folly with God. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise are futile. The words of the wise in the world are like a breath of air, a puff. It's gone instantly. It changes to something else. Those who give away to that not only damage the church, but they give way to that which in the end proves to be a wasted life. The Apostle Paul closes here, 21 through 23. He says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. You end up gaining the whole world. After all, the trouble with the world is, if the world or worldly church is offering you something and you want it badly enough, fame, pleasure, honor, wealth, you'll probably get it, but that's all you will get. In Matthew, he even says, if you save your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. We don't need to divide among Paul and Apollos and Cephas. They are all Jesus Christ. One watered, one ministered, one planted, one. We all have a job. We all have a calling. We can be led by the Spirit of God. Each and every one of us, our the temple of God. I love that end to that. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. They're all God's. They're all Jesus Christ. They're all His. Richard said in Sunday school, tell the Lord that you have a plan with your life. And see him laugh up there. He is sovereign. He has control. He has the choice. He has the plan. Now again, can we buck? Can we run away? Can we go the opposite direction? Can we ruin the temple of God? Absolutely. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for what you have laid on our hearts today, what you have given to us, that each and every one of us, myself included, is the temple of God. How powerful, how amazing, how wonderful. I just pray that we will all take care of it in that aspect. The Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives within all of us. And I just pray from a spiritual standpoint, from a physical standpoint, from whatever standpoint, that we will treat ourselves like the temple of God, that the church, the body of Christ, we will treat it like the temple of God, that we will go out of here today and tell others what your Son has done on the cross of Calvary. It may be my job to preach here, but it could be somebody else's job to water or plant or minister or Apollos, Cephas. Each and every one of us has a calling and a job to do. We need to be out there sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for a wonderful morning. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.